All right. Lollygagging Sports, I'm Bo Reed along with Samantha Button and Matthew Irby. Now, normally I go to Samantha first, but Irby, you requested that opening audio, and I have no idea why. So you're going to have to explain that to me and maybe at least half the audience.
Well, maybe. Hey, hi, welcome. Glad to be here. That is the music, the Queen song there's music. That is the trailer, the final trailer for the last season of Stranger Things. That is the music that they use, the Stranger Things, which is airing, well, kind of airing as we're here, as we're doing our show. Netflix has already crashed, but as you're listening to this show, hopefully you watch it. But yes, season 5, the final season, airing tonight.
Okay.
And that is the trailer music. So I've been listening to that a lot this week.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. I need to recalculate. I said half our audience. Let's say a quarter of our audience. I didn't know it was Stranger Things related. Samantha, you are into Stranger Things. I'm working on it. So does this hold water? What Irby is saying, is this legitimate or is Irby just kind of off on his own here?
Oh, no, it's very legitimate. May also become relevant later in one of our segments. You guys are just going to have to stick around.
Ooh.
There might be some Stranger Things related content in one of these. I couldn't resist.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, we do have a fun show. We're going to have some fun Thanksgiving related things to chat about a little bit later. But now that we're back to our three-man booth here and woman, or two-man and one-woman booth. Samantha, you want to kick us off a little rapid fire?
Absolutely. And for the record, like, can't we just call it a three-man booth? Like, do people really need to be mad about this?
You know,
I understand that three persons, you know, like.
I never know.
It's like you guys. You guys is genderless, right? Like, you guys just means a group of people. Like,
it's fair.
It does not mean you guys and girl. So, I don't know. I'm in a good mood because Anthony Rendon retired, allegedly. So,
well, he's got to get his proper buyout first, which I find hilarious.
Shouldn't he be paying them?
Yes.
All right. Let's rapid fire it. It is the Thanksgiving extravaganza, although none of these questions have anything to do with Thanksgiving. We're going to get into that a bit later. This is your usual rapid fire, although it is very baseball heavy because the NFL has been deadly boring and we have a lot of baseball news that we need to get to.
Yes.
This week. So, 10 questions. These guys do not get an opportunity to think on these. They do not have the questions ahead of time. They do not get to explain their answers. They will have the opportunity to come back and elaborate on one of these topics at the end. Are you ready?
Am I ever ready? No, but sure. Let's rock and roll.
Right. Well, let's start with the obvious one, and particularly relevant to you two gentlemen. Mm-hmm. The Brandon Nimmo, Marcus Semien trade. So, I think we have different opinions on this. I'm curious about your opinions as fans of one of the teams involved, and then I will sort of give you my brief take on this as somebody who doesn't have a dog in the fight here.
So, I'm not surprised. I expected them to trade Semien this offseason. I really did. I'm not buying the rumors about Seager. That's garbage. But I did buy the ones about Semien, and now that it is true. I don't know about the return. You're not really saving much money, and you're bringing in a player who is likely to be injured a healthy amount of the time. But what I do like is it clearly shows that the last 2 years have been enough for Chris Young to see, and he's changing direction with the offense. And that is something that is very exciting for me as a fan.
Irving? Since Bo speaks logically, I won't speak logically, and I'll be fanboy, and I'm still upset, crying in a corner. I love Marcus. He's friends of mine, and I think I did a few times with you guys. Whenever he was successful in games, we'd always text at each other, "Oh, captain by captain." So when this happened, we all sent the last scene from Dead Poets Society with all us standing on our desks.
As someone who loves both Marcus Semien and Dead Poets Society, you really got me there with that one. I'm with you. I hate this as like from a fan perspective, as somebody who's not a Rangers fan, but obviously wishes the Rangers well and know how much he means to a lot of Rangers fans, I hate this, and Marcus Semien is a great guy. Selfishly, I'm like, hey, cool, he's coming to the Northeast. That's great. And then I remember I don't live in New York anymore, so it doesn't really help me.
Can I real quick give a shout out to Irby, who absorbed all of my griping text messages when he was not hitting at all last year and did not once yell at me for it?
Hey, I'm here for you. It's a team effort, right?
You see, you fan differently than I do, which is sort of how I was going to explain this, which is that, like, I am not necessarily looking for, like, the shave the margin upgrade in exchange for giving away a player who I think has a lot of value in a lot of other ways, which is why I don't like this. Also, like, you brought in a glorified DH, so, you know. Like, I guess all you care about is pure offense, power-driven offense, then sure, but I don't love this for the Rangers at all. Okay, speaking of things I did not love, I don't know if you've seen this. Have either of you seen or heard anything about the A-Rod doc on HBO?
I have heard about it. I have yet to watch it. I'm still trying to – I'm going to eventually, but I've got to be in the right headspace to watch this mess.
Yes.
Is it A-Rod versus Alex?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. It's in my queue.
Kind of lose me with a title. Like, how narcissistic is that? A-Rod versus Alex.
I don't think that was his title. And the creators of it talked a little bit about why, and they thought that the title was kind of not an accurate representation of this, because, like, really, they're the same person.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the people who made it were not happy with the title, just for the record.
That's okay, fair enough then. Yeah.
So I will say this, it is 3 episodes. It's like 3-hour long episodes, right? Which is like about as much attention as I'm willing to devote to something like this, because I don't find him to be a particularly sympathetic or likable character. And I'm not sure there's anything about his story that, like, we don't know that will change that. So, you know, I don't know that I'm going into this predisposed to feel like this is going to change my mind about A-Rod, and I don't know that the documentary is necessarily trying to do that, but the real test is going to be, can this keep my attention for more? Will I watch a second episode? I'm on record as hating documentaries, and particularly hating sports documentaries, but I will watch it, you know, in the name of the podcast. So we shall see. Maybe we will talk more about this later, and maybe we won't, depending on what the verdict is from the 3 of us once we've got a chance to see it. So, okay. Taylor Ward, Grayson Rodriguez swap. Thoughts?
Oh God. Yeah. I got some thoughts here. What are you doing, Baltimore? The guy, is there something in his medicals that no one knows? I mean, it would actually make sense at the Angels, because the Angels took him on without doing a physical. I read that somewhere. Or at least they did look at the medicals. So
I don't think you can do that.
Is Baltimore sneaking this through? Like, is there something really wrong with him?
I don't think you can actually do that. Like, they may have agreed in principle to a trade without any medicals, but I actually think that that's a violation. So I don't think you can actually do that.
Okay,
so fair enough. I don't think so.
But still, okay, what do you do in Baltimore then? Like, you've got a young arm that has shown promise, that had some injury bumps. Why are you making this trade? I don't understand this. I get it from the Angels' perspective. They're getting a guy who, if he's healthy and performs, could be a top of the rotation starter for them. Baltimore's getting a guy that, okay, he nails mistake pitches. That's about it. That's all you can say about him. A lot of people in the league nail mistake pitches. A lot of guys in your lineup nail mistake pitches. What are you doing?
Irby?
I can't get over, but it was great. They didn't look at the medicals. Well, maybe it's because the Angels don't know how to look at medicals. Maybe that's what the issue is.
Well, yeah, I don't know what the medicals mean. I'm just saying, like, that you cannot put a trade through without a physical. You can't.
I probably look at x-rays. Why? Where's the color one? This is black and white. Yeah, you know what? Anyway, whatever. No, I don't understand what the Orioles are doing here at all. Like, is this becoming bashball? Grayson's on an upward trajectory, so weird.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think about this is that if we're giving a kind read to the Orioles, we're saying they know something we don't about when the elbow's going to go that might not
true.
Show up
that's
in medicals. And Taylor Ward is certainly, I think, was a trade target for a lot of people. So I understand it from that perspective. This is not a slam on like the value of Taylor Ward. Mm-hmm. I just think that like Grayson Rodriguez, if he comes even close to what we expect him to be, then this is a terrible trade. No disrespect to Ward. It just is.
This is it. So, yeah.
I guess we'll see.
Isn't it a contract year for Ward too?
I believe so. Yeah.
So, okay. How many years?
Hey, rapid fire.
Right.
Sorry, I did that. But you've already talked way too much.
Yeah. We'll go back to this.
So, all right. So, I wanted to touch briefly, and I don't know if you guys are going to have anything to say about this, but for my Guardians people out there, because I know there's a lot of you in the audience, I wanted to talk briefly about the non-tenders here, because I think people were confused, to say the least, about some of the things that they did. So, obviously, some of these make perfect sense. You know, of course, you're offering contracts to Fry and to Matt Festa. Nolan Jones, a real head scratcher. Why are you giving money to this person, especially when you have a proliferation of mediocre outfielders and certainly some people who ought to at least been given the opportunity to do a better job than a person who was essentially the weakest link on your team a year ago? So that was kind of weird. As far as the people who were non-tendered, who were not offered a contract, Sam Hinges, that was really strange to me. I will defer to their expertise on that one and say that there must be something in the medicals, because otherwise I don't know why you would pay a guy to not play in 2025 while he's rehabbing and then suddenly change your mind and then not pay him in 2026. Enright, a little bit tough too. I mean, I guess they've paid a lot of money for that guy to not play. It's not his fault. He had cancer. But at the same time, I suppose it is a lot of money in on pitchers who were not able to produce anything. Still, the thought of like Hinges in like Yankees uniform next year just really kills me, because I think he can still be an effective pitcher. Also, he was the hottest person on our team, so that's a little disappointing for me. So that's unfortunate. But anyway, do you guys have any thoughts on any of this mess?
I guess really the only thing I've got here, isn't what they've done par for the course with everything else we've seen league-wide? It's been a weird... The non-tenders and the tenders were weird
this year. Yeah, no.
The qualifying offers were weird this year.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been strange. I mean, yeah. That's an interesting observation. I'm more asking, do you have anything to say about the Guardians specifically and the moves that they've made?
That I don't have for you. But I do think they're just kind of mixing with everybody else right now. Like, it's just weird right now.
David Fry was a slam dunk, yes, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Fry and Festa were not. Yeah.
I that one I loved. The Nolan Jones, it was weird until you said we don't have enough mediocre outfielders. I'm like, well, that's kind of been y'all's MO lately, so that kind of makes. We need another.
No, he's worse though. He's because we know what he is. We know he's not going to get better. Like, it's like I would give him. I would have given him away for a dollar. In fact, I would have paid you to take him. Last season, he is a nice person, and I am sorry about that.
Take Nolan.
I great guy, dumb as rocks, but nice guy. Like, and I hope life works out great for him. But like, I do not want him on my baseball team. Like, it's just baffling to me. Okay, so the Rockies have a new sort of manager in Warren Schaefer. He was the interim manager. He took over in June for Bud Black. Thoughts? What are we doing here, guys? What's going on? What's happening?
I don't know.
Neither do the Rockies.
Yeah.
I could come up with something, but it's not. I don't know. This is weird. A weird off season.
Same thing. Like I don't understand what you saw here, that you're like, you know what, we really need him back, or is it because no one returned your phone calls for the interview? Nobody wants the job.
I actually think there's a distinct possibility that they were having a hard time getting somebody to take that job. And when you put that together with sort of Monfort's like sort of nonsensical, like, I am loyal, but the people I'm loyal to make no sense. That this is somebody who was in the org. I don't know what's going on. I mean, Paul DePodesta going in there and taking over and like being like, sure, we'll just keep the same guy who clearly wasn't, I don't know what any of you were doing here, but like, good for Warren, I guess. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say he's probably not the biggest problem they have. So I guess it doesn't really matter, but still.
He's not going to sink the ship.
It's already at the bottom of the, you have to take the little submersible down, like when you're going to visit the Titanic, if you want to see it. So, you know, I suppose nothing to lose there. But moving on, Sonny Gray traded to the Red Sox. This was an interesting trade. Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
I mean, I get it from Boston's standpoint. I mean, Sonny Gray's still a good pitcher. I don't know how much more he's got left, but he was effective last year. He's been effective for a while. So I get it from Boston. And St. Louis, like, why'd you sign him in the first place? Were you trying to get prospects? Was this a sign and trade?
Well, I mean, he was on the team before this.
No, so I know.
It's not a sign and trade that he has played for them.
Yeah, he got a year, right? He played for him for a year?
Yeah.
Right, so they got a year out of three.
That's not a,
As St. Louis just completely changed course this offseason? Okay, sure. You signed the guy last offseason, now you trade in this offseason. Clearly a salary dump? So I don't know. I don't know what to make from the St. Louis side. Boston, I get it. Makes sense to me.
Abby?
Boston, love it because it's you especially getting the $20 million with it. He's owed $35 million this year, or $30 million this year, a $5 million buyout next year, or with a $30 million option. So $40 million, they're paying for half of this. Sure, why not? $20 million for 1 year of Sonny Gray. If it doesn't work, here's your $5 million buy. St. Louis, I guess this is a reload. Boston, it shows that they really think they've got a chance of doing something this year.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I think this is a win for both teams. I mean, it's obviously if you have starting pitching to give and you need offense, and I'm raising my hand. It's not a video podcast. I want you to know I'm raising my hand. This is good news, right? Because we now know that you can get a lot back for like a mid starting pitcher.
Yeah.
So this is good, right? So, like, I mean, Boston got Sonny Gray and $20 million out of St. Louis. So they're getting what they want, right? They needed a starting pitcher, and they got some extra money to help pay him. But St. Louis got some pretty decent bats back in exchange. So probably this is sort of a win-win. Everybody's kind of getting what they want. But the important thing about it to me is that this has set the market such that if you have starting pitching to trade, as long as you're talking about somebody, because, like, what is Sonny Gray to you? He's probably like a three in a playoff rotation, right? So as long as you have somebody who's playoff viable, they don't have to be an ace, they don't even have to be number two. They just have to be pitchable. Like, works out for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So we need to talk about the poor little match girl, formerly known as Hal Steinbrenner, who spoke this week for just, I guess he just felt the need, or every Thanksgiving we all have to listen to Hal or whatever it is, who came out and wanted to make it very clear that he was not necessarily saying that the Yankees made a profit. Does anybody even want to say anything about this? I have so many thoughts about this.
I do. Billionaires, shut up.
Yes, yes.
Just stop. Even, which is absolutely ridiculous to even think about the Yankees not making a profit, especially when he touts the $1 million payment to New York City that he writes off.
Well, that's the biggest thing, right? That's the part of this that bugs me the most, is that, like, okay, so you're saying, well, I have to pay $100 million in bonds for stadium maintenance. But let me remind you, let's do the math. That is in lieu of a tax payment. Right, so guess what the taxes would have been? $122 million. Now, I'm not a math whiz, but I do know that 122 minus 100 is 22 in your pocket.
Right. Yeah. Like,
so also, like, Lord help us if the Yankees aren't profitable, but being the most profitable team, if they're not profitable, then obviously we have a problem.
There's no way the Yankees were not profitable last year. No way. Well,
and you notice he didn't actually say they weren't, right?
Yeah.
He's saying none of your business because I don't want to have to answer questions because I want to cut payroll. That's what that was, right? It's like he's not going to outright lie. He's going to do the how dare you ask me how much money I have in my wallet. It's like,
you know what?
Okay, Hal.
This is where a good PR rep comes into play. Mm-hmm. Right? You're like, okay, hang on. What if you went out there and said, this team has not performed the way that you that anybody wants, so we're going to make some changes that might affect payroll.
Yeah, which I'm sure would also go over like a lead balloon, but it is a justifiable thing to say.
Yeah.
So I just think this is so like incredibly tone deaf and stupid, and the idea incredibly. That like, the Yankees are not profitable is like hilarious. See, so
and especially and the climate that this country's in right now, a billionaire crying like this is never going to go over well. So just shut up.
Like the economy's in the crapper. Like people like literally couldn't eat for a month if they were on public assistance. And this guy is like, I don't know, man. I don't know if we're profitable. Man who says sells 10 million hats to tourists who don't even care about baseball.
Right?
Okay. Yes. Like just shut up.
Read the room.
Like just shut up. Because like, you know, as has been pointed out, like realize, well, we're not coming back to this one because we've already beaten it into the ground. But
yeah,
like as has been pointed out by others, if you're the Yankees, then you're either profitable or you are bad at your job, because how on earth are you making that thing not profitable? So yeah. Like you're, which is it? You're either telling me that you're lying and you are in fact profitable, or that you're such a poor businessman that you made the Yankees unprofitable, which would be incredible.
So, yeah.
You know, bad for you either way. Mm-hmm. All right, Irby, any thoughts on this now that we've beaten it into the ground?
When I saw the video, I half expected him to pan over to George Costanza to tell them. This felt like some Idle Seinfeld episode.
Truth. That's true.
All right, last bit of baseball before we get very briefly into the NFL. So Dylan Cease, this just broke. It is not official yet, but it is being reported across multiple channels and by MLB.com. So Dylan Cease to the Jays for 7 years. What do we think?
Well, I love breaking news when we're recording a podcast.
It was like an hour ago, but close enough.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, look, obviously the Jays' offense was not an issue last year. They needed some help with pitching. They got one. Like, that's a great deal for him, great deal for the Jays.
Yeah, I mean.
The Jays ain't effing around. God
dang. They finally got somebody to take their money.
That's true. Finally. So, this will work out really well in 2026.
Yeah.
Dylan takes years off. He only does even years.
Yeah, he is not an unhittable ace. Certainly not. Mm-hmm. And I think that will be an important thing to look at when we see the money on this deal. But on the whole, yeah, you know what? This is what you should do when you just went to the World Series and you almost won it, but you didn't, right? You say, I don't care. I'm going to buy anything.
I'm going to buy everything. Yeah.
Get me over the hump. That is the right way to do it. Hal, are you paying attention? Hal, this is the correct attitude to have.
It's great timing because Hal put his foot in his mouth yesterday. Today, the Blue Jays drop a lot of coin until it ceases.
It's very funny. He's getting routinely owned by the Blue Jays as he has for the entire season. You think that would be bugging him? Maybe that is bugging him, and he's lashing out irrationally. Anyway, just two NFL questions, because this has already gone on for entirely too long. So I wanted to talk to you guys about the Bucs, though, the Baker Mayfield injury, which is looking like it might not be quite as bad as we thought, but still, you know, that shoulder has historically been a problem for him. So how worried are you? How do you think this is going to impact your season?
Yeah, you have to worry about that shoulder, right? Like not just for the season, but long-term.
Well, yeah, but what I'm asking you is, how is this going to impact their season?
I don't think they win football games without Baker Mayfield. I think they have to, kind of like when Brady went there a couple years ago. They don't win the Super Bowl without Brady. I don't think they win football games without Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. Arby?
In the backup, Teddy Bridgewater?
I rest my case.
I've lost track of whether Teddy Bridgewater is like retired, unretired, re-retired again.
I think it is.
A high school team, fired from coaching a high school team, back in the NFL. I don't know, man. Maybe.
I really think it is. And this is not good for Tampa. And Carolina going to win the division?
Maybe.
If that happens, I'm not going to acknowledge that. I just want to put that out there.
If he's that. It's extended. Okay, yeah.
Last thing. Mm-hmm. Patriots. They won 9 straight. First team to 10 wins. So let me ask you, why are they 10th in power rankings on most charts?
Oh, because power rankings are garbage.
Yes, that is correct.
Now, I mean, look, I get it. People may not be buying the Patriots because they were so bad very recently. But
okay, but the Chiefs were so good recently. I agree. Yet look at them now. Like, how are you going to say that the Chiefs are like number two?
I'm not.
Patriots are number 10. This is insane behavior.
I'm not saying that they are.
I know.
This is the impact of a good coach, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, right? A good coach and a good quarterback. I mean, that is good drafting to bring in Drake May and the good coach to get you over the hump. But yeah, this is
good coaching.
Yeah, well, I think it also shows you that the Patriots never really lost a step. Like, they were reloading, even when they were down right after the Belichick sort of retirement, and then, you know, the unfortunate Jared Mayo year, like, they were still restocking in terms of talent. They're fine.
Is Bob Kraft winning the divorce? I think he's winning the divorce.
I think so, but I don't think Bill cares. Like, this is the thing. Like, because Bill is like in his my girlfriend is 24 era, and he. I mean, we should talk about that at some point, because I actually at some point do want to talk to you about how I actually think Bill Belichick is bizarrely a really good boyfriend. You know, like, because he shows up to, she was in an adult cheerleading competition, and he showed up and he looked grumpy because that's who he is, right? But he showed up. Like, I mean, does your spouse come and watch you do your hobbies? You know, like, he's a good boyfriend. So I think Bill is doing just fine, but I do think that, technically speaking, Mr. Kraft did win the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Irby, do you have anything to say about adult cheerleading competitions?
No. I think the only thing I was going to add was, yes, they are not. It's a reset. It's not a rebuild. But then again, you never have to rebuild when the Jets and the Dolphins are in your division.
Good
yeah,
point.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Okay, does anybody have anything we need to come back to, or should we move on since we've already kind of...
I think we should move on. Irby, you got anything?
Yeah, I'm good. That wasn't the rapidest of fires.
All right, yeah, it wasn't the rapidest of fires. Very, very true. Very true. Happy Thanksgiving. It is a Thanksgiving extravaganza.
Yeah.
Apparently everybody's feeling a bit long-winded on this long weekend. Okay, so Bo and I have both submitted ourselves to the sort of losing pop culture trivia on here.
Yeah.
I was tormented with movies near weeks ago. I got almost nothing right. Bo has been tormented multiple times with Harry Potter terms, during which he got almost everything wrong and yet did surprisingly well for somebody who has literally never engaged with this material in any way. So I am currently the big loser. But we're about to find out if Irby is going to take that crown from me. Because we are going to try to stump Irby with questions about current pop music.
You dropped the word try. You are going to succeed.
Ooh. All right. Irby, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do this.
All right. Irby, what was the name of the first single on Taylor Swift's Life of a Showgirl?
What?
No, it was not called what.
Yeah.
What was the name of the first single off this album?
Redwood?
I can see that you have had a tangential interaction with this album by mentioning the word Redwood. There is not actually a song called Redwood on here, although there is a song which somewhat transparently compares Travis Kelce metaphorically to a Redwood tree, and then compares parts of Travis Kelce's anatomy to perhaps the term wood in general, as well as many, many other things, including a magic wand, a hard rock. And I just, we don't even need to do that. But no, there is neither a song called Redwood on here, nor is that the name of a single.
I should have stuck with what?
Also incorrect. I mean, I could name you off some Taylor Swift songs that do have the word what in the title, but that is not in the title of this. Okay, I'm sorry, but that is incorrect. Bo, would you like to take a crack at any of these, or are you just going to sit back and watch him burn?
I believe that was The Fate of Ophelia. Was that the first one?
Yes, very good. Yes. Very good.
I also like to point out that I do swim against the stream here. Wishlist is still my favorite song on that album. I've listened to that album multiple times. Still my favorite.
Wild stuff. It is an interesting choice. I like it because it's rogue. That is a rogue pick. Like, if you had told me it was Honey, I would have said you just had bad taste.
I didn't like that one at all.
It's terrible. It's terrible. But Wishlist is just a weird rogue pick.
So I like that pick. I like that song.
I mean, I'm on Father Figure, and I will be on Father Figure forever because I think it's one of the best things she's ever written. Mm-hmm. Come get me, haters. But yeah, Wishlist, it's an interesting choice. But okay, I think we have established that. Well, there's a reason we're not quizzing you on current pop music. Well, we'll see if Irby can get any of these. All right, Irby. Who dies in the Sabrina Carpenter video for Taste?
Trying to see if I know if she has a beef with anybody. I'm going to go with herself.
Bo, do you know the answer to this?
I actually do not, no.
All right, Irby, you don't actually get any credit for this, but you are in a way partially correct because the answer to this is everyone.
Oh!
So all of the principal characters in this video die. Multiple times in some cases. So, all right.
So I get partial credit, not enough to count.
You don't. All right, who is Gracie Abrams' dad? She is a nepo baby. Who is her dad?
Well, say the name again.
Gracie Abrams.
Gracie Abrams.
This is one, honestly, Irby, I think you can get.
That's why I put this in here. It's a softball, right? Because he doesn't actually need to know who Gracie Abrams is.
No.
To figure this out. So let's see if he can get one. I'm trying to throw you a bone here.
Well, When I hear the last name Abrams, the one that I think of is Jim Abrams, who made, with the Zucker brothers, made the parody movies in the 70s and 80s.
Okay, I tried.
Yeah, you did. You did.
I tried. Bo, do you want to tell them what the answer is?
That is one J.J. Abrams.
Yep.
J.J. Abrams. Oh. That makes a lot more sense.
So much for the softball.
I tried. You never know. Ooh. All right. Well, all right. What female-fronted aughts band just put out an album on Halloween called Everybody Scream?
Female pop band.
Female-fronted early or late aughts. I guess I'm called late aughts. Yeah. Female-fronted late aughts band. An album on Halloween, which was honestly appropriately creepy for the holiday. I appreciated it. Very timely.
Oh my gosh. I've heard this. I've heard my kids talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I'm visualizing the conversation he was having it with his girlfriend, everything. Florence and the Machine.
There you go. Good job. Yay, he's got one. All right. Good job, Irby.
See?
Good job.
I need y'all to tell my kids. See, I do pay attention.
Yeah. See, no, that was good. All right. Florence and the Machine. Well done. All right. Who just put out an album on which the artist sings in 13 different languages?
I'm going to go with I hope I'm saying her name right. Rosé?
It's close.
Close, kind of. Rosé actually is a member of a K-pop band, so unfortunately I can't give you credit for that because that is a pop star. But the person you're looking for is Rosalia.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that. At least I had an educated guess.
But it was a good guess. That was a good guess.
Wasn't one of those languages Hebrew?
I doubt Hebrew based on her political leanings. I know for a fact there was English, Spanish, French, Italian, Arabic, Ukrainian. So mm-hmm. I'm up to seven. Not sure what the other six are. It's possible Hebrew was in there. I don't know. But
I thought I saw that somewhere that like some of it was Hebrew.
Very possible. Very possible. Oh. Really, really interesting stuff. Less weird than I thought it was going to be. I don't know that I think you can truly call it pop. Like Rosalia, you cannot just say an album is pop. You can't just put something out and say it's pop. I don't think you can do that. But I do hope that it brought some of the pop audience to a place where they can kind of, I guess, be willing to engage with other styles of music. You know, like the London Symphony is all over this. There's a lot of opera work on here. And I hope that this sort of was a mind-expanding experience for a lot of people. But, like, I don't know that you can really call it a pop album. So it'd be very interesting to see what the Grammys do with this, if they allow her to submit that next year as a pop album. Because I was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think you can just say it's pop and then be like, this is true. But we shall see. It was certainly an interesting album. Okay. Let's go back to the last Taylor Swift album. Let's see how much attention you were paying there. Who are most of the songs on Tortured Poets Department about?
They're mostly about ex-boyfriends?
I'm looking for a specific person.
Oh. Well, she never actually dated Fernando Alonso, so I can't say that.
Yeah, no, none of the songs are about Fernando Alonso. none of them. Cannot emphasize that enough. I need a name.
Taylor Lautner.
Can I give him a hint?
Yes, you can. There actually is a song about Taylor Lautner, but that's like eight albums ago. it was not a negative. It was a very positive song. This is not a song where she was taking him to task. She was sort of lamenting her. And they have a very good relationship to this day. He recently started a video for a ball track with her. So, no, it was not about Taylor Lautner. Irby, you can give him, or Bo, you can give him a hint. I'll give you a hint, too. What is my favorite active band? What is my favorite band that is currently making music?
Ooh.
It's their front man. Or Bo's going to give you a hint. I already know what he's going to give you, but I'm going to let him do it.
No. That's actually a better hint.
Bo, you were going to go after the first name, right?
No, I was actually going to reference a song from 1989.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead.
There's a song on 1989 called Style.
No, that's not what this is about at all.
Okay.
No.
All right. Then
No. You are thinking of Style off 1989, which is also, again, from like 10 years ago, which was about Harry Styles. And this album is absolutely not about Harry Styles.
Okay. All right, then I'm curious. Who's it about? Go on, Irby.
Well, good, because I was not going to say Harry Styles. Ooh,
did you really think my favorite actor was One Direction? No.
I'm
trying to play off like I know what I'm doing.
That's why I said your hit was better. I was like, wait a minute, I may be thinking about the wrong thing.
This person has the same first name as you, dear Irby.
Good for okay. Hold on. Because we talked about her. It is one of her exes, right? Not necessarily.
Kind of. That was what was so surprising about it, is we were all expecting an album about Joe Alwyn, who actually is her ex-boyfriend, and instead we got an album about somebody else.
His last name starts with an H.
Yes.
Healy. Matt Healy.
What band is he in? Irby, what band is he in? He's the front man for what band?
I don't know.
This is my favorite active band, Irby. How dare you? This is why the Swifties and I have a bit of a falling out, because you will pry the 1975's music out of my cold dead hands. I will never stop listening to it. I'm sure she's right. I'm sure he's in the wrong. I do not care. You will not stop me from listening to the 1975, because they are the greatest active band at the moment. But yes, Matt Healy. I don't know if you get credit for that or not. Bo, does he get credit for that?
Are
we giving him credit for that? Or
how,
giving him half credit?
How generous
partial.
Are you?
I'm looking for partial.
How generous are you feeling?
Not that generous.
I did give him a bad hint.
No, your hint's good, because it saved me from making the mistake of saying something like Harry Styles.
Stop him from saying Harry Styles?
So it was helpful.
Listen, I don't want to give you credit, because you did not respect my favorite band, my favorite currently active band. So this is upsetting me. I can't believe you don't listen to 1975. How dare you?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm glad that they're there for you.
How dare you?
Man. Okay.
Moving on. We're going to give him 1/4. We're giving him 1/4 of a point for that. So Irby, he's now at 1/4.
You stepped in quicksand there, buddy.
Okay. This one, I think maybe you can get this. Let's see. Maybe. Okay. Which country singer announced that he was taking a break from producing albums to pursue a master's degree and further his education?
A master's degree in education.
No, not in education. A master's degree to further his education.
Oh, okay. See, I want it to be something like Jelly Roll.
The answer is not Jelly Roll.
Morgan Wallen.
You don't think that guy can read?
Wow.
I don't know.
Of all the guys to pull out of your ass, you pulled that one.
But that is the person who is the most likely to burn a college down, not to go attend it.
But he might get his master's while burning said college down.
I don't think he can read, Irby. I don't think so.
There's some colleges out there that's not an issue.
True. That is a valid point. Bo, do you want to take a crack at this?
I mean, I got the answer.
Oh, you know. All right. Go ahead. You want to tell people then?
Yeah, it's Zach Bryan.
Yep.
Oh. Good for him.
Yes. Okay.
He probably will get it done.
Okay. He's already got the Bachelor, he's on his way.
Yeah, listen, as a Zach Bryan apologist, and yes, I know that he and Matt Healy are both maybe not the guy you want to be your best friend, because they're kind of dicks. I don't care. I love Zach Bryan, and I love the 1975.
Cold beer on a Friday night.
You will not stop me from listening to that. Okay. On Audrey Hobart's debut album, Who's the Clown, there's a song referencing which 1990s sitcom character? It is the title of the song.
Okay. Audrey Hobart, her album, Who's the Clown?
Yes.
References, say that one more time.
A 90s sitcom character.
A 90s?
There is a song referencing a 90s sitcom character. Who is that character?
So I think I know the song.
Don't you dare Google this.
No. I just okay. I heard this, but I don't know the character. Well, I mean, I can.
Okay. Well, what is the song?
It's Sex in the City.
No.
No, then I'm way off.
No. But well, points for. We might actually give you half credit for that because I had not thought about the fact that Sex and the City is technically a 90s sitcom. And I'm just so happy to know that you've actually heard of Audrey Hepburn. Because,
oh, no, that's the wife. She gets the credit there.
I am a huge, huge fan. Yeah. That album so much. So we're going to give you half credit for that because I had failed to consider the fact that Sex and the City is technically a sitcom. But the song I was referring to is... Bo, are you on this train too, or do you want me to tell him?
I am nowhere near this train.
you gotta get on the Audrey Hepburn train. She's so good.
Okay. So good. I will make a note.
Really, really good album. And also probably realistically the person, if you want to say the quiet part out loud, who wrote most of the stuff on Gracie Abrams' album, The Secret of Us, that turned out to be good.
Interesting. So,
the Nepo Baby got a little bit of a boost probably from Audrey Hepburn. But the song I was referring to here actually was Phoebe. Obviously about the character from Friends. So, but we're going to give you half credit. So you now have 1 3/4 points.
Ooh.
And you have 2 questions left. All right. I believe in you. I think you can get this one. What color is Brad?
What? What color is Brad?
What color is Brad? What color is Brad? B-R-A-T. What color is Brad? He doesn't even know what I'm talking about, does he? What color is Brad?
What color is Brad? Like,
yes.
Like a person?
No, it's not a person. Like, it's the title.
Like Howard is Yellow, or it's the title of something.
It's the title of an album that very famously had really excellent marketing that involves a specific color.
That didn't help.
Do you want to just guess a color? This is like when the people on CNN were like asking the olds on their panel to explain what is Brat, and they were like, well, it's cool, like, which, you know, that's exactly what is not Brat. It is difficult to describe, especially for the olds. Are you the olds here?
Are you calling me old?
I might be. Yeah.
All right, so Brat is cool. Brad is an album.
Brad is not cool. Brad is cool, but you're not supposed to use the word cool. But Brad is an album.
Okay.
Yes, Brad is an album.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The letters in here aren't helping me with the color. It's not going to be something like black or white, blue or red. That's too obvious. Am I at least in the ballpark, or did I already sink my own ship?
I'm just waiting for you to give me a color. Give me a guess.
Who knows?
Maybe you'll randomly guess the exact right color.
Well, that's what I'm going to do. Is I'm just going to go with my favorite color.
Okay.
Because then I can feel good about my answer. Having no idea. So I'm going to go with green.
This technically is a shade of green, but like I would need a specific color of green in order to count.
I gotta get like hunter green or lime green, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I need a margarita. So I'll go with lime green because I want a margarita.
I believe technically it's referred to as chartreuse, but that actually is correct.
Wow.
I don't know if you're getting. I don't think he's getting full credit for that, but we'll give you another 3/4. So you're now at 2.5.
Ooh.
Okay, ooh. Last one.
Thank you.
Now this is one.
Don't know what Brad is.
Listen, Brad is a vibe, right? It's undefinable. It is undefinable. So, all right, last one. I think you can get this. This relates to something that you care about. So, Which Stranger Things actor was pilloried in real life on a recent album called West End Girl, written by his wife?
Okay, say the second part again. The Stranger Things character.
Well, the actor who played him. Which actor?
Right, actor, pilloried. Actress that played.
Yes, pilloried. On an album that was just released last month called West End Girl by his ex-wife. Boy, did she ever trash him. I mean, it was one for the ages.
I have no clue.
But do you know the answer to this?
I do not. I don't know anything about Stranger Things. So, I got nothing.
Okay, Irby, do you want to... Do you have a guess? Or do you want me to just tell you?
Just tell me, because it's going to hurt. Like, I need hints to figure out the character... the actor, actress. I have no clue.
Okay, it is... The album was written by Lily Allen, who used to be married to David Harbour.
Oh! Okay, Hop.
So, unfortunately for Hopper, things aren't going great for him in real life right now. Okay, so you didn't do bad.
Was it 2.5?
You got 2.5 out of 10.
Tell you what, today's Major League batting .250 keeps your job.
That's pretty good. You did better than I did on mine. So I say you did well. You did well. You did better than me. So
I did better than I thought I would do too.
Right. See, maybe you're not as bad at this as you think.
That was good. That was good. That definitely challenged. You know, it's interesting doing this on this end. I haven't been on this end before where you're like, you hear something, you're like, wait a minute, I've heard that. I know it's
similar to this. Yeah.
Like, I kind of have, but I don't. And then thankful. I think this is the key of having friends and family, because that's really why I got two of these, because of my wife and my kids.
That is a good test. Like, this is how you know who pays attention to, like, what their wife and their kids are doing. Right? Like, mm-hmm. Do you actually take any interest in what your spouse is doing, what your children are doing? Because, or who is just existing in a vacuum and only doing their own thing. Or taking recommendations from other friends or whatever. So, anyway, I think you did pretty well. So, nothing to hang your head about. You did good. You did good.
Mm-hmm. Apparently I got some music I got to listen to as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, you do.
I'm writing it down.
I'm not recommending. Yes, the 1975. Yeah, if you're looking for something you would actually, I mean, that is much more rock end of pop. So, that might be more appealing to you if you're more of a rock and roll type of person. I know you're really more of a soundtrack kind of person, but I do think you're leaning more towards the rock end of pop rock, and they are definitely much more in that direction. So. Listen to Being Funny in a Foreign Language. It is a really, really outstanding album. Or just listen to The Greatest Hits or whatever. And listen to the Audrey Hepburn album as well. I'm not going to recommend Brat to you because I think you would hate it. It's club music. So I don't think you're going to enjoy that. So.
No.
Maybe
I'm a different kind of green, I guess.
But, yeah, wrong green for you, I think.
Wrong green.
You are not Brat. you are not Brett.
Thanks.
I think that's either an insult or a compliment, depending on who you are. I'm just using it neutrally here to be like, I don't think this album is for you.
I am not Brett. I think everybody wins there.
You're not Brett, right? This is probably better for you and for Charlie. Okay. Let's move on. Before. Forever end this. But well done, Irby. Good job. Good job.
Hey, I'll take batting .250 any day of the week. So. Hey. All right, well, flip us back to Thanksgiving, some fun. One tradition, I know we will be doing this, and I'm sure most of y'all out here do the same thing, and you guys as well, is you have that Thanksgiving Day football game, the backyard football game. I want to believe it's 7-on-7. Sometimes it's not. You know, it just depends. Growing up at my mom's family house, it was a – I learned real young as a young kid, having older uncles. Like, they didn't take it easy on me, and that sucked when you were a kid. But as I got to, you know, elementary, middle school age, it was – made me a better player and had no problem running my uncles over, especially when they're like, oh, I'm getting older. Ah, shut up. You'll be fine. But the backyard game was always big. So – have a little more fun. I've got my, and I went kind of the 7-on-7, so I've got my 7 players in today's NFL that I would want on my backyard football team Thanksgiving Day. Bonus, I have a head coach too, and it's just because of, I'll explain, but it makes sense why he's the coach.
Okay.
I do think most backyard football games involve a player coach.
Right.
I've not seen an actual sideline coach. So, okay. So, I'm curious to hear where this is going. Okay.
So, yeah, y'all give me your opinion on these, and then when I'm done, and then throw in y'all's as well afterwards, if you'd like to add. So, quarterbacking my team, Jameis Winston. I know Josh Allen is built for this, but the energy that Jameis brings, not only for our team, but when it gets a little bit too intense, Jameis is the one that's going to be like, hey, let's just chill out here. Like, we're just having fun. It's just backyard football.
Hey, also, I'm a little bit worried that Josh Allen, without having any ill intent, might fall on and kill one of your children.
So, right.
There is that to consider as well. Jameis.
Yeah. I went with a double running back combination here. Running back, playing also safety, Christian McCaffrey, just because, yeah, you need that weapon. When I have that weapon, then the rest of these guys are going to be about personality and having fun and hype.
I'm so glad that you've specifically said that you're not bringing Christian McCaffrey in for his personality, because I feel like we would have to see a welfare check on you if you were telling me the opposite.
Right. You're here to score. The rest of us are eating turkey legs while playing.
So glad you clarified that. The Christian McCaffrey's going to have to sit in the other room to eat dinner. But yeah.
He's at the kid's table. And then my other running back, also will do some cornerbacking, is Bijan Robinson. I know that I should probably have 2 wide receivers here, but I feel the running back combination makes more sense. His explosiveness, his acceleration. He's a Longhorn. Hook him.
Listen, he was getting Bijan Robinson in there no matter what, right? Even if he had to say he was a kicker or something. So
Wide receiver, also doubling as my other cornerback, Justin Jefferson. I need the downfield playmaker.
Okay.
Just here for the touchdown celebrations. That's what I need him here for. Because that's half of backyard football, is once you score, the other defense has to know that you scored.
Oh, absolutely.
My tight end, also playing linebacker, Mr. Hype, George Kittle.
Mm-hmm.
I just need Kittle there for – he's going to make plays, sure, absolutely, but George is going to be the trash talking.
George Kittle is there for vibes. That is for vibes.
Vibes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that's the guy I need out there for that.
It's so Brad. My other
tight end.
Brad? Did you say it's Brad?
I did. It's so Brad.
It is Brad. That is true. George Kittle is Brad, actually. Yeah, George Kittle is Brad.
Okay. I have a better idea of what Brad is, suddenly.
Christian McCaffrey is not Brad.
I think this next guy is not Brad, but it's a high-energy, nonstop motor that you need. It's my other tight end, linebacker, lineman kind of thing. TJ Watt. Just because if the game's close and somebody's taking it a little too serious, but, you know, you kind of have to get the win, that's TJ, especially if we're playing after dinner. You know, everyone's going a little bit slower. TJ's the one that will have no problem running somebody over.
Not Brat, but thinks he's Brat.
He's got the Riz, though.
My last one is here, my lineman, my O-line, D-line, the big boy up front. And at front, he's there in the face of the quarterback all the time, so it is the talking. It is the wit. There's some great celebrations as well. That's Christian Wilkins. Wilkins, boom, right there. And then the head coach that I needed to add, you know, it's kind of like the uncle who not playing, but you know, has judgment on everybody playing while he stands over there. Jason Kelce, just because it's very likely that my coach will be eating leftovers during the game with his shirt off.
While sitting, yeah, with a beer sitting next to him in one of those lawn chairs that's made out of that woven stuff, the kind that look like they
exactly
might hold him for the rest of the game, or they might not, but who can really say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Love it.
So that's my backyard team. We will win games. We may not win them all, but we're going to have a lot of fun doing them. So how about you guys? Any adjustments there? Play someone you would prefer into the position that I chose?
I mean, it's a pretty good backyard team, you know? Like, I like it. I mean, I'm not – Christian McCaffrey's not allowed on my – get off my lawn. Literally get off my lawn. And Christian McCaffrey's not coming to my house. No. Absolutely not. So I don't think that I could allow that. But I enjoy this team. I think they will be competitive. And some of them will be fine. Some of them will not. I'm looking at you again, Christian McCaffrey.
So, Bo, anything to add on that?
No. I'm okay. Very intrigued by the Kelce brother you picked. I think that was absolutely correct. But, yeah, I got nothing to add.
It's the superior Kelce brother.
I agree with it in every single way. Absolutely, yeah.
It's the it's the uncle that stands over there that's not playing. But yes, the chair. Thank you for the visual of sitting in that woven chair.
I mean,
that makes perfect sense.
I mean, if you're going with the uncle for the head coach, of course it's going to have he's going to be double fisting beers, right? Like,
oh yeah,
it makes perfect sense.
No, not double fisting. He's got a turkey leg in one hand.
Oh, okay, fair enough. It is Thanksgiving. Other days is you know double fisting beer. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got it. Okay.
All right. Well, that's my Thanksgiving game. Hopefully the one tomorrow goes as well. But my other bit today, it's been a while since we've done an obscure sport. We've had some wonderful ones, and so here's one coming out of Finland. And
it's always Finland.
I
they all come from Scandinavia.
I don't know, but yeah. Okay.
I've got my notes, so let me just get through the notes, and then I'll say my opinion, and then you guys jump in because this is going to go south really fast. Like, there's no way around this. Okay.
Do you think we need a field trip to Scandinavia to see all these sports?
Well, some of them.
Yes. I mean, tentative, yes. Also, we may do that this year over Christmas. It is being debated. Not the sports, but the Scandinavia part of that. We're still kind of trying to sort out our travel plans for after Christmas. That is a possibility. But Irby is leading me to believe that I'm not going to want to go watch the sport. So.
Well, hey, you know what? If you do, and if anyone out here participates, go for it and everything. But it's called hobby horsing. Competitors,
yeah.
I'm intentionally not using the word athletes here. Use hobby horses, aka stick horses, utilizing elements of gymnastics, dressage, and show horsing.
What?
They run around the arena. This started in Finland. There are competitions throughout all of Scandinavia, Germany, parts of Eastern Europe. It's even hit Australia as early as 2018. The IHHF, or the International Hobby Horsing Foundation, will be hosting the first ever European Championships next year, 2026, in Czechia. In the UK, it is celebrated a little bit differently. It is typically an event in more of a relaxing, fun day off the horses for equestrian and pony clubs. Makes a lot more sense. The competition is predominantly young ladies, ages 10 to 18, competing. This is not a sport. Like, what are we doing? A fun day, off the horses, jumping around in stick horses, sure, I get it, charity event, have some fun. That makes sense for young equestrian and pony clubs. But so good job, UK. The rest of y'all, no. This come on.
You kind of lost me at stick horses.
Exactly.
I don't know, being boys, if you were given a stick horse. I mean, they're a little bit before my time, but I have seen them. But I can tell you that there's nothing more depressing than somebody giving you a gift that is a stick with a stuffed horse head on the end of it. It's like, here's a fun thing. What crap am I supposed to do with this? And I guess this is the answer. This is the answer. But, like, and by the way, like, this has caught on in the U.S. to an extent, like on college campuses and stuff. My mom actually brought this up to me a couple of years ago. Like, have you heard of this? And she's like, that sounds fun. I'm like, no, it doesn't. It sounds stupid. And it is not a sport. Although I will say, neither is the running down the hill after the cheese wheel thing.
Yes, this is true.
So I'm not sure this is any less a sport than that, but no, it is absolutely not a sport. Like, it's a stuff.
Would you even say pseudo sport or not even give it that?
No, because what I would call this? This is like those people that, where they call it LARPing, the live action role play. Mm-hmm. Like the people who go out into the woods and like throw ping pong balls at each other and are like, lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt. And then you have to lay down and pretend to die, like because you're like living out your Dungeons and Dragons or whatever it is. That's what this reminds me of. It's that for horse girls.
Yep.
It's horse girls, Dungeons and Dragons. That's what this is.
Horse Girls, Dungeons and Dragons. Oh, that sounds like a show. And that's where, like, I get this for an equestrian or a pony club to do as a charity event or a relaxing day, a fun day, something like that. Sure. Sounds great. Go for it. Everybody have some, build some team building. Yay. Good time. Awesome. But for really having a European championships? Really? Really? Come on.
Yeah, I can't get on board with that. I think that's great if, like, your barn wants to raise some money, so you do this.
Sure.
Absolutely. But it's not a sport. I don't even think it's anything you can realistically compete at. So. It's a horse head on a stick.
Yeah. Bo, you going hobby horsing?
No. Not a fan. Although I would prefer the hobby horse over Rangers captain.
I'm sure Rangers captain will be a hobby horse one day. hey, with the news that we have today coming out of Anaheim, do you think maybe Anthony Rendon will get into hobby horsing? This seems like
maybe
something he would do. It's like, oh, too great, much work. I don't have to do the real
too much work. Wait, too I much work. To, oh, that's
can
right.
I just throw the stick.
Yeah, it's too much work.
Yeah. But I am. If you want to know what I'm thankful for, it's Anthony Rendon retiring. Happy Thanksgiving. I am thankful for that. I'm not thankful for the stick horse thing. But
isn't it so on point for Rendon though to want to negotiate his buyout? Like, dude, you're retiring. They don't have to pay you a dime.
You should be paying them. I will die on this hill. You should be paying them. Why don't you pay back the money for all the time that you didn't play when you were supposed to be playing? You could have just retired then, but no, you sat around digging checks for years. So, no, goodbye. No, go ride off into the sunset on your stick horse. Goodbye.
Yep.
The guy literally made over $1 million per hit. 245 million, only 224 hit.
My money to the stick horse people.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's what I got. Thanksgiving football and hobby horsing. Jameis Winston would hobby horse for fun. I bet
he would, and I would watch that. I would watch that.
Jason Kelce has a daughter, doesn't he? So he probably would do that with his daughter.
Yeah, I could see it happening.
I could see that. Christian McCaffrey is not hobby horsing.
No. No. Definitely not.
All right. Well, I have a couple of fun topics to close the show out. Are you guys ready? They're both Thanksgiving related. Yeah. No. There's no quizzes. And no obscure sports. No, this is some fun stuff. So let's start off with this. Which mascots do you think would survive the trek that was the Mayflower? Any off the top of your head before I get into this?
Okay, so you're asking me, so your question is, when the Pilgrims came over on the Mayflower, prior to the first Thanksgiving.
Yes.
You want to know which mascots I think would actually make it?
Yes.
I thought you were going to, I was I wanted to be asked which one's the guy.
I have that too. So if you want to throw out an honorable mention right off the top.
No, I'll wait. If I'm going to be asked, who will die? As long as I'm going to be asked, because I would like to comment on that. But you want to know who I think is going to survive? Who would survive the Mayflower journey? Mm. Okay, so all the fuzzy ones are out.
Yes. Because
they would absolutely all get some kind of horrible disease, and there would be like rats living in that, and then they would get whatever disease you get from ship's rats and die.
So they're
all out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking for something either humanoid or beautiful animal. So we either need a mid-sized sort of hardy animal type, or we need like Mr. Red Legs, because he just looks like the guy who would make it over. He does. I mean, he looks like he would steal your sacks of flour on his way and your heart.
Yeah.
You know, he would probably make it. I do. I think he would point his musket at you and steal your heart pack, and he would survive. And what? Mr. Red Legs.
Did not make either one of my lists, so we're off to a good start. Irby, how about you? Any honorable mentions that you want to toss out there before I give you my list? Well,
I want to believe that Billy Marlin would make it.
Okay. That is what we call in the industry a segue, because that was the first one on my list for obvious reasons. Billy the Marlin could just hop
you're
out.
You're both wrong. Because
why?
Billy the Marlin is on that boat. He is dead, getting eaten.
No, because he could easily just go on and off the boat.
Well, if you're going to do first off, argument, then maybe Lou Steele.
That is terrible. Yeah, no, I would go with Lou Steele. That Billy the Marlin is going to be somebody's dinner if he goes anywhere near that boat.
I did think about Lou Steele. I did. Okay. All right. So Billy the Marlin was first on my list to survive. Next on my list was Stomper. Good luck pushing him overboard.
Too big.
That's why he would survive.
The Mayflower was very cramped. It was very cramped.
But
they would not.
He's small for an elephant.
He is small for an elephant. I do worry that he would have been refused passage in the first place because he is simply too big to fit on the stuff onto the Mayflower. But he would be hard to throw overboard. So, you know, once he gets on there, you're not getting him off. But
all right.
He does have a good hide, though. You do need that tough hide. You know, helps keeps the ship lights or whatever they are off.
Third on the list is a lollygagging favorite, one Dinger from Colorado, because let's face it, a little boat ride is hardly an asteroid.
I would like to think Dinger would make it. I mean, I do think he should put some pants on for this. I really do.
Maybe not.
But, you know, again, like, then. You know, the dinosaurs, they survived a long time. And you're right, there's no asteroid coming.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a hardy fellow.
It's got those genetics, you know. There's nothing you can do about an asteroid, but a boat ride across the Atlantic, sure, nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Last on my list of survivors is Baxter the Bobcat. And I went there because at any sign of trouble, he could just hang from the side of the boat.
Yeah, no, I think a cat is a good choice for this. I think a cat could survive a ship's
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
The reflexes, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, my list of those that would absolutely die on the Mayflower.
Oh, can I give you two more possible lives?
Sure.
Go ahead. Wait. Pirate Parrot.
Sell his soul
to hang out with the cat.
No.
Oh, you got him dying?
Now I've got him dying.
I think I agree that he would live. Yeah.
And I want to hear your argument for death, and I'm on board. The other one would be Wally. Just because even the rats would be like, what the hell is that? Leave it alone. I'm not going near it.
I think, you know what, that's the argument for, what is that thing that looks like skin? That gross thing. Blooper? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
That thing would survive because, like, it would not get parasites because no one wants to touch that.
Yeah.
Even the parasites would be like, no, thank you.
Like, no, I'm not doing that.
I mean, also, it just doesn't look like it's susceptible to scurvy. So,
is it malnourished? Is it albino? What is that thing? I don't know. Don't touch it. Leave it.
No, just don't touch it. Yeah. Like, I mean, man, I think that thing's got great odds.
All right, go, Bo.
Sorry. All right, okay. All right, well, we'll start with Pirate Parrot, who is on my death list because, let's be honest, we're talking about a parrot, a pirate parrot, surrounded by starving Puritans who believe in capital punishment.
Oh, so you think that, so he would survive it, but they're going to kill him.
He is dinner.
You think they're going to hang him for piracy?
Hanging for piracy and then eat him. He is dinner.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the Puritans were not a good time. I mean, I think it is important to put that out there. They were not a good time.
No.
Like, these are not people you want to know. They're kind of terrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could totally see them just not being on board with the piracy of Paris. Yeah. That's fair. I think that's a fair argument.
Yep. Yep. Bernie Brewer is on this list because he's going to be tanked the whole time. Can't really.
That might be a good also, way. That might not be a bad way to go. If you were
going
down
Mayflower,
actually.
We're going down. Yeah.
All right. Third on my list is Mr. Met, who's going to be tossed overboard by Dinger to free up Mrs. Met, who had no knowledge of the crime.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not. Dinger doesn't want anything to do with Mrs. Met. No.
Dinging that one? Okay. All right, and last and certainly least, Ranger's captain who is too stupid to survive the voyage.
They did bring horses, though. They bring horses. I actually don't. Did they have horses specifically on the Mayflower? Probably, yeah. So the horses did make it. So I'm sorry to tell you that I think Captain might make it.
Don't tell me that.
I could just see Bo at Plymouth Rock. The freaking horse is still there. They roll out the 20-pounder and sink this thing.
You guys see the horse? You see the horse? Fire.
Could drop it off at, what was the colony where everyone just disappeared? Roanoke.
Roanoke.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Okay, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
You don't bring horses? Yeah. No, you didn't. Don't worry about it. You brought a dinosaur instead.
Want a free horse? All yours.
We have a dinosaur.
Any other mascots you guys would like to toss in there? It could be either one.
Die?
Live or die. What do you got?
Well, let's see. We told all the furry ones die, right? None of them are going to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right about the parrot.
Yeah.
What else would? I mean, DJ Kitty for sure. Right. That's another thing Puritans would hate. Right.
Wait. So DJ. Wouldn't the Puritans make sure that the Swinging Friar survived?
I was just going to say the same. No, they would kill him because he's Catholic.
Yes.
So the Swinging Friar would absolutely
yes.
He would probably be the first to go. Actually, that would be a murder on the Mayflower, not an accidental death. So at least the Swinging Friar would be the first one to go.
Yeah.
Hanging as they're leaving port.
He's going to get, what is it, keel halt or whatever that is? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to kind of wouldn't do well. Any of the fuzzy ones. Who else I don't think would make it? I think Ace might do okay. The Blue Jay. I think he can make it.
He is pretty clean cut for a mascot. So, yeah. I think that there was a respect level there.
He's also a bird. You know what I mean? Like, it's a small bird. Yeah. It's not big enough to eat, you know.
Also has the agility to dodge the Puritans. You know?
Yeah.
Like if they came at him, like he has the agility to get out of the way.
I love how quickly we got to murder. Like when I originally proposed this segment, I was more talking about things like who's going to die of scurvy or like, fall overboard, you know? And we got, how long did it take us to get to murder? Like
not long. Not long. Okay. Irby, how about you? Anything you want to add there?
No, this is a good list.
That's a fun list. That was fun.
We got some logic here.
All right. Last, before we call it a week, we're going to assign traditional Thanksgiving food items to baseball teams. These are non-regional items. These are like, traditional Thanksgiving items, okay? Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's start with the turkey. I decided to get creative with the turkey. The turkey is the center point of the meal, on Thanksgiving, right? Like it is the it's the big thing. So I thought that the best way to do the turkey, and this is for all of you guys listening out there as well, all you fellow lollygaggers, it's your team. For me and Irby, it's the Rangers. Samantha, for you, is the Guardians. And for anyone out there listening, it is your favorite team. The meal is built around your favorite team.
You know who I think the turkey is?
What's that?
I think it's the Yankees, because it's the thing that gets all the attention, but it's not that great.
Yeah, I like that too.
You can't say you're profiting, but the turkey's not profiting. So.
I like that too.
But I like yours too.
That's good though. Well, I like that.
Can I add on to yours, Bo? So in your realm there, Bo, where your favorite team's the turkey, does that mean your secondary team, like the one you cheer for when your team's not playing them, is the gravy?
That could work.
It might be the stuffing.
Also good too.
Well,
I don't know. I had to think about how that would work out. I'm not sure.
I've got the stuffing next. You guys ready for the stuffing?
Okay.
The stuffing is the Mariners. Mostly fluff, but occasionally you get a bite of turkey.
As the person who only eats the stuffing on Thanksgiving, I don't know if I can get on board with this.
And when you eat your stuffing tomorrow, I'll be like, this is not the Mariners. What is he talking about?
Like my version of stuffing also has like a 12-to-1 celery to everything else ratio. Ooh. So it's mostly celery because I love celery. It's like my favorite thing ever. So
celery's great. For me to see that.
So your celery is Ichiro.
No, my celery is Ken Griffey Jr.
Okay. Better.
All right. All right, Irby, anything you want to add there?
No. I like that stuffing.
All right. Candied yams. Candied yams make the list. I gave them the Brewers because they're always there, even though some people don't like them.
Candied yams. I'm trying to think. I mean, we're looking for somebody who's kind of mushy, right?
Yeah.
And somebody who's kind of foamy on top. So, I mean, I suppose you could liken it to beer a little bit in the brewer sense. I'm trying to think who's a marshmallow, right? Who's the real marshmallow of the week? I think that's what we're looking for here, right?
The Rockies.
Who's the marshmallow of the week? The Rockies. They're the sweet potato casserole. Maybe. They might be. That might be correct, actually.
All right, Irby. Any additions there?
You were saying who's the marshmallow, and you went with the team. I was like, oh, that's like Prince Fielder when he was a brewer. He was the marshmallow.
He was a little bit of a marshmallow. Or you could have who's like, you know, Chris Sale, the mental marshmallow. If that's a possibility. That's,
too. They had Ryan Braun.
Or Anthony Rendon. Yeah. I don't think Ryan Braun was a marshmallow. He was like the carving knife, I think. I don't know. I don't want to get into Brewers politics. I've gotten into trouble with this before, so I don't want to do it again. I've been yelled at about this by people on the internet. So I'm going to look down though.
All right. Green bean casserole.
Yeah.
I actually like green bean casserole, but I understand that emotion as well. Green bean casserole, I gave to the A's because it's the cheapest item on the menu.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I've never had it.
Pretty cheap to make that stuff.
I've never actually been at a Thanksgiving where that was served, but when I see it, I'm horrified, especially when I hear. I like green beans, but when you're pouring, whatever that nastiness is that they're pouring on it, oh my goodness.
See, And there's why it works, because like Kurtz and Jacob Wilson, that's the green beans. But then you put all the other stuff on top of it, and you get this whole team. You're like, what is this? give me Wilson and Kurtz.
Listen, you just took those feral cats, and then you just
threw
that guy.
The feral cats. I don't love it. Give me those players. Give me Lawrence Butler. Don't give me the extra crusting. Don't give me Sacramento.
John Fisher does strike me as a guy who's on a perfectly good green bean.
Yeah.
No, I'll buy it.
So extra points for the person who could tell me where green bean casserole originated.
Is it Oakland?
No.
Somewhere in the Midwest.
Is it the Fisher family?
No. The only reason why I know this is I did do a Google search to make sure that it was not regional. It is not. In fact, it originated in New Jersey.
Interesting. Would not have guessed that.
I wouldn't have either.
It definitely know that. Seems like something that came from, like, I don't know, Indiana or somewhere.
No, New Jersey. That's where it originates. Okay, one more. Let's do the dessert. And I went with good old-fashioned American apple pie. And if there's one team in the league that just says apple pie, it's the Philadelphia Phillies.
Interesting. What is the logic behind that?
Well, when you think about apple pie, what is that saying? As American as apple pie? The city of brotherly love, Phillies? It's just what resonated with me.
See, I love the Phillies, but I think most of America actually hates Philly sports teams.
And oh, they do. Philly
sports fans, so I don't know that if they're like quite as American as apple pie, even though I personally am very fond of the Phillies. So they are, however, an important piece of early American history.
Yeah.
So there is that. I'm curious about where I did, you guys, I read an entire book called the history of America in pies. It was very illuminating. And right now I cannot remember where apple pie originated. I mean, obviously it did not originate in America, right? But what I'm curious about is where did be like the American version of apple pie? Maybe it was Philadelphia. I don't know. I read the book like 3 years ago. I don't remember the details.
Samantha, by the way, for the record, the apple pie I bought for Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow was $15. I could make three green bean casseroles for that dollar amount.
$15, that's pretty cheap for a pie.
Yeah, that's how cheap green bean casserole is.
That is horrifying to me. Considering, what did I pay for? Hold on. What did I pay for this pie? Oh, yeah. I paid $28 for this pie. So, your grocery prices are better than mine, I think, because I'm guessing you and I have the same pie. I just live in a grocery gouging state, I think. But listen, I don't even want to know what goes into that green bean casserole if it costs $5. I don't want to know what goes in that.
There's three ingredients and they're all dirt cheap. I will leave it at that.
I just think that people need to... Never mind. Someone's going to get mad at me. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Nothing. I'm also not eating that. You can't make me.
Do you guys have any dishes you want to add that we can come up with a team for? Anything I missed?
Yeah, because I'm trying to think if there's anything else that's critical. I mean, mashed potatoes.
See, I didn't want mashed potatoes and yams.
Yeah, or gravy. I'm trying to think what else. I mean, I'm bad at this because the only thing I'm going to eat is the stuffing or we usually do asparagus and Brussels sprouts and such as roasted vegetables. But I'm not eating any rest of the stuff, right? Because I don't really like Thanksgiving food. I like Thanksgiving, but I don't like the food. So I'm trying to think. I'm probably not the best person to ask because I don't know what else goes on the table at Thanksgiving dinner. Are we missing anything, Irby?
Well,
do you have any opinions?
The mashed potatoes, if you want to add that can be the Cubs, just because of what you said about the Brewers being the candied yams. We don't want the Brewers and the Cubs. We just want one of these two.
I like it. That's good. That's good. Okay. All right.
Craig Council begs to differ.
It's true. He doesn't know which one he wants. Craig Council probably no. I will add to your apple pie. Bo, because my mom's mom used to make a Dutch apple pie, so Pennsylvania Dutch.
Yeah.
She wasn't Pennsylvania Dutch. Just trying to make the connection there. So there we go. Dutch apple pie. Philly. Gotcha there. I'm a big cranberry sauce.
That's what we forgot. Okay, so which kind are you? Are you the one who eats the thing that that's like the tube of Jell-O that comes out of the can? Or the one that's more like a salad?
Yes, I don't I love all cranberry.
Oh. So
I don't.
Okay. I
however you want to serve it, I will consume. I have more of the tart soup tomorrow, which is perfectly fine. I'm going to get a little cereal bowl, fill that cereal bowl full of cranberry sauce.
Are the Dodgers the Jell-O version? Because it's the same every year?
I think the Dodgers are the Jell-O version of anything, as much as we want to insult them. I'm also pro-cranberry, Arby. I actually really like that salad that's got, like, the whipped cream in it. It's a little bit gross, mm-hmm. but it's also delicious. It's like the cranberries and whipped cream and grapes or whatever it is.
Oh, it's weird. Good,
actually.
Like, this is good. After about 8 bites, though, I don't want any more.
You do get, like, that, like, really icked out feeling that you get from, like, super sweet, weird things really fast with that stuff. But the first couple of bites are, like, really good. The canned stuff, the Jell-O stuff, that you can more use, like, moderately to mix with the other foods, right? Just put a dab of it, whatever. You know, it's a nice little tart. Who is the canned? Who is the canned cranberry? And I don't really want to insult canned cranberry, but I mean, it is like fruit Jell-O in a can. So that seems like something that's relevant here. Who is fruit Jell-O in a can?
Is it Kansas City?
Who is kind of a joke? Like,
oh.
Well, who's a joke that we don't hate? Like, who's you're ridiculous, but we don't hate. Is it the Mets? Are the Mets the can of fruit Jell-O?
A joke that we don't hate.
And we already used the Rockies. Yeah. So.
Padres?
I was sitting on the Padres just because...
Yeah, I don't hate that.
Yeah, it ends up being the same thing. Somebody leaves, okay, it's still going to be canned jelly, canned cranberry sauce. Well, Dylan Cease is gone. Doesn't matter. Next year, canned cranberry sauce. You're going to get the same thing.
It is the most remarkably consistent Thanksgiving food because you just open up that can.
And, you know, we like the Padres baseball and like the Padres, they like baseball until October comes. So near the end, nobody wants, I can't eat all of this. Padres can't play the whole season.
Well, that's true. You can't use the whole can, but it is not an unpleasant encounter when used in small bits. So, well, we are really doing some heavy lifting on this here. But, I don't disagree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I'm with you on that. Cranberry sauce is the Padres. Okay. Anything else? Samantha, is there a regional thing that you would like to toss out?
I don't eat the Thanksgiving foods. I don't know that the Northeast necessarily has a regional thing, unless you consider like oyster stuffing regional. Mm-hmm. That does show up a lot here. Oyster stuffing is pretty popular in the Northeast. Also, hams make a lot of appearances around these parts. Do have a ham in addition to the turkey, which my family, I think, more did ham at Christmas, but I do see them occasionally on Thanksgiving. But other than that, it's mostly that. Or, the key lime pies, because the key lime pie seems to be everywhere year-round here. I haven't really figured out why exactly that is yet. Fellow Bostonians, can you enlighten me as to why we have so much key lime pie? I'm not complaining because I love key lime pie, but why do we have so much key lime pie here? We ain't growing limes here. It's like freezing. So
I feel like that would be a Boston cream pie.
Explain that to me. I've literally never seen anyone eat one of those, despite the fact that it is from Boston. But yes, the key lime pie is very popular in these parts.
Wow.
Mostly the oyster stuffing is.
Do you think, is it because of the snowbirds?
I think that mostly goes the other direction where they kind of take their foods south with them because when they go for the winter or whatever.
Well,
I don't know. I think there actually is an explanation for this. I think I've even maybe heard it. And I suspect it has to do more with shipping, but, I can't speak intelligently on this because I don't remember or I never actually heard it in the first place, but, I don't know. Big key lime pie state here for reasons that I am not privy to at this particular moment.
Okay. Irby, anything you want to add here before we call it a week?
No, the only thing I'll add is the ham is like the what you're mentioning. It just shows up every once in a while at these things when it really should be there in December. That's kind of like the Tampa Bay Rays. Every once in a while, they show up in October. What do y'all
do here? Oh, man, you're going to put me off ham.
Is that possible? I know how much you love ham. Like, is that really?
I do enjoy a ham. I do enjoy a ham. Yes. not a big meat person, but I do enjoy a ham. So.
Okay. Oh, boy. All right. Wherever you're listening to Lollygagging Sports, give us a like, subscribe to the show. Help us out with that algorithm so we have some lollygaggers in here. But for this week, we're done. We're out of here. Until next week, have a great Thanksgiving. Watch some football. And eat whichever foods you want to eat. It's all good for you.